Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes, you are now talking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. We have a lot to talk about. Obviously, the DeAndre Hopkins pending visit to Nashville. You have a bunch of things going on in minicamp. Kevin Byard made his return. You have Treylon Burks gaining more confidence and doing more things on the field. Ryan Tannehill emerging once again as a general that he has been for this team. There's a lot to get into. Got David James over here making this thing happen.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to get Chris Sanders on, Run TMC. We'll do that. We got Keith Sanchez from the Draft Network. He's also a former lead personnel analyst at LSU, 2019 national champion with that team. And we know all the players that were on there. So obviously we'll get into that with him. But we're going to have throughout the show, I got a co-host with me, man. He's going to ride it out for a couple segments here. Courtland Griffin of the 3-Point Conversion. He was at practice on Wednesday. We watched practice from different angles and just got some different things done. And Courtland, what's going on, man?
Man, nothing much, man. It's an honor being here, man, doing the show with you.
Yeah. No, it's fun to come in here and talk some shop, man. And you got to watch practice. We'll get into your observations when we get with Chris Sanders in the next segment, just a couple of them. But I guess for starters, the DeAndre Hopkins rumor or report that was confirmed that he's visiting. What do you think this team should do? Is that a move that you think they should make? Is it something that, hey, you don't let him get out the building? This is his first visit.
It's a mixed bag, I think. I think if you with a GM like Rand Carthon, man, he does his homework. He's not a guy who is a jump at the first, fish that you get in the pot. You get what I'm saying? So I think with Rand, knowing what you have in the house, right? Mike Vrabel, we know DeAndre Hopkins was in Houston with Vrabel and with Tim Kelly, had some good years under Tim Kelly as an offensive coordinator. You know what I mean? We know what he said on the pivot about, what he's looking for in a team.
Yeah.
But I think when you get into that room, right, we've seen a difference in how this Titans team approaches free agency, how they approach the draft. And I think that's a product of Rand Carthon and the attitude that he brings to players. Guys can resonate with a guy like Rand.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when you get DeAndre Hopkins, like I said, I think it's a mixed bag. You don't let him get out of that. Like, you don't let him get out of there without at least hearing, hey, man, we want you here.
Yeah.
And I think with that, it shows – hey, we are dedicated to bringing you in. Look at what we have, and what we're trying to build. You can be an intricate part of that. And if he decides, hey, let me take some time. I want to go on some other visits and see what's going on. Hey, that's fine. But at least we made the first impression. We're
right.
The first visit. First impressions are everything. And I think Rand Carthon is in my opinion, probably one of the best first impressions that you can make on anybody. Like that smile and the attitude, the swagger. I don't think DeAndre Hopkins is going to have an easy go with making a decision on another team.
Yeah, when I talked to D'Amico Ryans about Rand Carthon, that's one of the things he said, like, that's everybody's best friend, and he's never met someone that didn't like him. And to your point about the players resonating with him, I remember on Wednesday, Jeffrey Simmons, Azeez Al-Shaair, multiple guys went over, and it wasn't just a hi-bye. Like, they stopped and they were talking shop for a bit. So that's an example. I think Mike Vrabel also Mike Vrabel is the tone setter for this organization. And it goes beyond just the extreme detail that these guys get in coaching. It goes beyond that. It goes to, him. When A.J. Brown came out about thinking about taking his own life, and one of the things that he said was it was really important to, when you ask someone how they're doing, actually mean that and sit there and listen to them when they respond. Those are things that go beyond just the big, bulky coach that people think he is. He's very, very emotionally intelligent. He's a servant leader. He's very detailed. And point blank, if he wants you to be there, you're going to know it. But that's a two-way street. And that's one of the things that we talked to him about on Wednesday, just as far as like what it is about DeAndre Hopkins, why, you know, what they're looking to accomplish with the visit. Here's Mike Vrabel on that.
Well, the first thing is we want players who want to be here. You know, I think we want people that want to be here, and then we'll work through anything else. And so, you know, we brought in a bunch of different players. DeAndre will be somebody that we'll bring in next week, early next week, at the end of this week, and go through the same visit that we go through with everybody, and then, you know, start the process.
With a visit like that, like, what can you pull from that visit? I mean, is it a recruiting opportunity, or like how does that benefit you?
You know, I mean, I'm past the recruiting. I did that in college. You know, I mean, I think that, again, we really just want people that want to be here. And then if that works out, then you go on to the next step. So this will be pretty much it until we either sign or don't sign the next player.
So it's funny. He says he's beyond the recruiting, like he's done that. But this is a recruiting tour, potentially, that Hopkins is going to be taking. I mean,
for sure.
You don't often see players like, okay, they're going to visit with this team and that team. And that's, typically, it's, okay, we're going to make the deal, we're not going to make the deal. And in this case, you could definitely see that being a possibility because of the connections between Tim Kelly, as you mentioned. Now, Hopkins had 104 receptions, 1,165 yards, and 7 touchdowns in 19 when Tim Kelly in 19 when Tim Kelly was the OC.
Tim Kelly,
there's a connection. And going back to Vrabel's days from 2014 to 2017, you know, they were together. And Hopkins had made, I believe, two of the 5 Pro Bowls.
Yep.
Now, obviously, opposite sides of the football. But when you look at a guy like Vrabel, it's very clear that he had a relationship with various people on that team. So the familiarity is there. I just wonder, you know, when you look at him coming aboard, like, what is it that this Titans team, if you were selling, pitching the organization to, what would you do?
Easily, man. Like, I would easily just pitch the culture that this Titans franchise under Vrabel has cultivated, right? You're coming in, it's a very family-oriented franchise. You're in a very great city with a great fan base. This is a fan base that's going to love on you. When fans see, you know, Titans players out in the street, you know, they're going to scream your name. They're going to run up to you. They're going to let you know that you're wanted. You're loved and you're supported. But also just the personnel, right? Like, you're going to come in and you're going to be DeAndre Hopkins. But you got this guy, Treylon Burks, who's very good. He's young and he can learn from you. He's going to take some of the pressure off of you. You got a quarterback that is a consummate pro. He's always ready. You got a young guy. Will Levis, you got two young guys actually, Will Levis and Malik Willis, who, you know, depending on what they pan out to be, right, you're going to have somebody to throw you the ball that's going to be there. Of course, Derrick Henry. Like, what guy doesn't want to run around when you got a guy like Derrick Henry that's making teams load up the box? So I think, and then also a championship, you got to, in my opinion, just seeing what we've seen in minicamp, this is a very good defense. So this is a team that's going to get you opportunities. The defense is going to get you opportunities, you know, more than once, maybe twice, 3 times in the red zone to where you can get those touchdowns, you can get those touches. And so, like, I think, if I'm pitching the Titans to DeAndre Hopkins, it's simple. Those are the first things that I'm pushing out there. And like I said, that culture, Tim Kelly and his offense, it's going to get the ball in his hands, Vrabel and his defense and the culture he has. Like, I think the way DeAndre Hopkins has been portrayed, you know, on Hard Knocks and things of that nature, and just seeing the kind of dog that he is, I think that he's a Vrabel guy through and through. And I think that's why he resonates with Vrabel so well. And again, I mean, like I said, I can sit here on radio or podcast and like pitch this all day long. But Rand Carthon is probably one of the most, just hearing the way he talks, he's probably one of the most eloquent guys that I've ever heard talk. He's going to say it way more eloquent and put it, you know, probably put a presentation. And in the words of Vito Corleone, he's going to give him an offer he can't refuse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing to look at. And you mentioned the personnel, and a lot of people will hear that and say, like, what are you talking about? Well, this is what we're talking about. Derrick Henry in the backfield is going to almost always warrant, I don't think there's anyone that faces more 8-man boxes. when you have 8 men in the box, guess what you have on the outside? One-on-one coverage. You talk about Hopkins being a dog. Listen, that one-on-one coverage, exactly, David. You're tapping the helmet. We're going to fade this thing up, and we're going to make you kill. We're going to kill you with it. We're going to make you pay for it. And I think that's something. And then, again, you know, having the chance to leave a legacy, like pass things on, right? You look at a guy like Treylon Burks, how Hopkins being in the building can influence him. And I think that's critical. Treylon has some interesting comments about that. He obviously acknowledged that, you know, it's someone that could definitely be a benefit to him. Here's Treylon Burks on DeAndre Hopkins.
You know, that's something that I can't control. He's an awesome player, a great player. It'd be fun to play with him. So, you know, if we end up getting him, then we get him. If we don't, then we don't. But no offense to him, he's a great player. I'm just glad. I like playing with who we have here. So.
And Treylon went on to say after that, he said that, you know, he would be a great mentor, Hopkins, that is. And he also mentioned how he's someone that he's watched, one of his favorites to watch, actually, since he was young. Having a guy like that there in the locker room, a couple lockers down from you, would definitely benefit Burks, because he could see it day in and day out what it's like to prepare mentally, physically, spiritually, even, yeah, how to be the dog, like that guy, yeah, in the locker room. I think that speaks volumes. But you do notice that he said, hey, you know, if it doesn't happen, you know, no offense, I like the guys that we're playing with. And I think that's good on Burks, just to show that, you know what, I'm the leader right now, and I'm even going forward, and these are my guys. If we got a ride, that's what we're going to do.
And I think with Treylon, one thing that stood out, and I took a lot of sociology classes and a lot of speech classes in the college, so I kind of listen to what guys say rather than sometimes, you know, just the full context. Sometimes you got to pick apart what he said. And he said, I like the guys we're playing with, but notice what he said. If we get them, I'm cool with that. Like, I'm cool with that. If we don't, I'm cool with that. That to me shows, hey, if we don't get them, number 16 is going to be the number one guy.
Yeah.
Like, if we get them, number 16 still got to show up, right? Like, I'm still a first-round draft pick, so I still got to show up. If we get him, I get to, like you said, I get to pick his brain. I get to see how he prepares. I get to, you know, take some things from his game and implement them in my own. But if we don't get him, guess who got to go out there and suit up in a Titans helmet and a Titans uniform for 17 weeks on Sunday? Treylon Burks. And guess who's going to get chewed out by Mike Vrabel if he doesn't show up? Treylon Burks. And guess who has to go, like you said, Uncle Rob, right? Rob, mm-hmm, Moore, right? Guess who has to face the music when he doesn't run a route well? Treylon Burks. So to me, that says I'm a number one guy in my own right. I understand who that is. I understand that's D-Hop, DeAndre Hopkins, Nuck, whatever you want to call him, right? I understand who he is, but understand who I am too. And I like that confidence from that young man standing up there on the podium today.
Yeah, and to the point about the confidence, that's something, I mean, you just really, really see it. The first time we spoke to him was before OTAs had started, and that's something that just right away, he was never up at the podium cracking jokes. You know, he was asked, you know, what's going to make him faster? He's like, man, because I could breathe. And then you even look at Wednesday, you know, he's cracking jokes, and he's just very calm and collective. And he just said that football is fun. I thought that really stood out. He said it's fun for me now. So I'm not going to say it wasn't fun last year, but, you know, last year was a tough year. And I know from talking to him about that, it was definitely tough. But that confidence, man, whether it's, you know, just feeling like, and he said it, right? The confidence is sky high. That's one of the things that he said. And it's just, there's something to it, and a lot of people overlook just the mental part of it. Like, when you feel like you're the man,
it's different.
More times than none, you're going to perform like it, you know, especially when you have elite ability like Treylon Burks does. So I think that would definitely benefit him. But, you know, the thing that's interesting is it wouldn't just benefit the guys on the offense, right? Because you look at these cornerbacks going against a guy like that. I mean, go back to Hard Knocks years ago, D'Angelo Hall, you know, I know he took an L in that on that one rep.
A major L.
But you rest assured that he got better, you know, in that week that they spent together. And you rest assured that, you know, going against who it was, Pierre Garçon back then and those guys, is iron sharpens iron. And Sean Murphy Bunting is a guy who's new here, but he was asked about that. And I like his answer about Hopkins and what that addition would do for the guys on defense on this team.
Elite is elite, you know. That's probably one of the best words to explain him. He can do pretty much everything. He's a very, very talented guy. I had an opportunity to go against him about two or three times in my career. And, you know, he was always the emphasis on the game plan and who we needed to stop. So that's another guy that just, you know, just leads by the way he plays. You know, you see him on the field, he makes plays in every given moment, no matter what type of coverage he's in. And you would always love to have a guy like that.
So that's an example, right? It goes back to what we said about feeding off of each unit, feeding off of each other. So I'm really curious how this thing is going to work out, and we'll get into this a little bit more when we get Chris Sanders on for Run TMC. We'll be right back. What's up, everyone? This is Teron Davenport, and I want to tell you about Sarah Chevrolet Buick GMC of Nashville. They took great care of me when I got my brand new Camaro. They have hundreds of new or gently pre-owned vehicles, special discounts, and monthly incentives. They don't have any market adjustments, zero dealer ads. Save, save, save. You could go online to chat, check availability, and purchase your vehicle without ever stepping foot into the dealership. Or you could go there and see my guy, Josh Lemon. Either way, check them out at sarahnashville.com. That's S-E-R-R-A, nashville.com. And tell them TD sent you.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
There they go. All right. The music fades. The lights dim. Where are we going? And now, coming to you live from the Bradley Center for your Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, man.
At shooting guard, out of Arkansas, number 21, Alvin Robertson.
And now, starring in the color purple, Danny Glover.
You gonna let that little nappy head speak to you like that?
Hey, I let it ride in the caboose, boy. You silly. That was a classic. Oh, my God.
We're gonna keep the music going because we have more introductions.
Oh, my God.
Because here we go. Out of Tulsa, at guard, number 25, Paul Presley. That's the introduction for the co-host today, Courtland Griffin from the 3-point conversion.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, right inside that, car.
That's Tom Jackson.
Oh, man. You know, I met Tom Jackson one time.
Oh, man.
In person. He has so much makeup on, man. He looked fake. It was crazy. Dude, he made me think of it.
I grew up watching that dude, man. I'm from Denver, Colorado, man.
And, oh, yeah.
His lips were like Newman gloves. You don't remember those Newman gloves?
Yes. That's crazy. That gray leather, rawhide.
What's going on, my guy? Hey. I saw your cam yesterday looking like Sam Cassell. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, hopping around. And that's the thing, right? Courtland was at practice today. You were there yesterday. You were there Tuesday. Courtland was at Wednesday's practice. And I was there as well. So I think we could just kind of share some of the things that we saw. So I'll open it up for me, you know, just looking at the last couple of days. You know, one of the things that I that stand out to me is Ryan Tannehill himself.
Yes.
He had the deep connection with Chig Okonkwo, and then for the TD, and then you saw him in low red zone on Wednesday, and he was stinging him, man. At one point, he had back-to-back-to-back touchdown passes. He fitted into a tight spot to Traylon Burks across the middle, hit back shoulder throws to both Burks and Westbrook Ikhine. He hit Jonathan Ward coming out of the backfield. And the thing I like is he was talking, and that's when you could tell. And he was talking, he was talking to the defense, you know, talking that talk to them. I thought that's something that stood out, among other things.
Yeah.
What stood out to you, Courtland? What were some of the things that you liked?
Some of the things that I saw today, man, was just the energy, right, that both sides brought. You know, the defense won. It went up. You saw the sidelines erupt. When the offense won, you know what I mean? You saw them erupt. So I think in the past, I think some of that kind of lacked with the Titans just a little bit. You know what I mean? Just the camaraderie a little bit. But I think now that even with the newer guys, like talking to Aziz, Sean Murphy, Bunting, those guys, they're bringing that energy and that swagger to this team. And you see it being infectious, throughout their entire locker room. So it was kind of fun to see those guys, you know, the defense get a stop. Cornerbacks got stops in the low red zone period today. And the entire team, everybody's coming off, you know, running off the sideline to go celebrate. When they score, you know, like you said, and they pass, you know, get some touchdowns, offense is celebrating, offensive line is celebrating. So it was awesome.
Yeah, that back and forth is definitely good to see. Chris, what were some of the things, like, what's your response to some of that?
Man, it is. I love the communication. And when I say I love the communication, it starts in the meeting room. When I say the meeting room, because yesterday, the day before, you know, I was in a meeting room with the Tennessee Titans on offense. And when I tell you these guys are communicating and they want to do everything to expertise, the first thing that you said was Tannehill. Tannehill made some good strikes yesterday and today. The reason why they're doing those things like that is the communication in the meeting room. I watched Tannehill talk to the tight ends. I watched him talk to the offensive line. I watched him talk to the receivers on how he wants the play ran. And when you have a situation like that, then guys can execute and make the plans. Do you look on defense? Let me tell you something. What I saw on defense yesterday or a couple of days ago is everybody's communicating. The linebackers communicating. The secondary is communicating. And here's the deal. The energy that is bringing, and it started with Arden Key.
Yes.
Arden Key is bringing the stank to the whole thing. He's bringing attitude. He's bringing, you know, a tenacity, and he's bringing a sense of urgency in everything he does. If you look on the field, you consistently see him around the ball. And then another thing that I love, I really, 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 really love, is I love the cornerbacks coach, Chris Harris.
Yeah.
That dude is running up and down the field. He's coaching every play. He has excitement. So if you have the coaches being excited, you got the players communicating, you got the offense that are making plays because of what they did in the meeting room, now you have a recipe for success.
Yeah, that communication, you definitely, like, you see that so much. And I thought that's a good point. And even – you know, you look on Wednesday, watching them a little red zone and just the communication back and forth between McCreary, Amani Hooker, Chris Jackson even. But then, you know, with Byard, and then it relayed back. You know what I mean? Like, it was like a wave one way, and then it came back the other way, and you saw them shift and move around. And then, lo and behold, what happened on the play? A defensive breakup, you know, and then another play is just sticky coverage, and they shut it down. So I like that you mentioned that. And then when you mentioned Tannehill and the communication, you know, that's something that really, really stands out. And it's always stood out about him because you'll see after reps during practice, you know, he's telling, hey, you know, you got to come out this way or you got to. And even during install period, there are times where last year we're not seeing install as much this year, obviously, because it's early.
Right. But
there are times where last year I remember during install, like you see him actually lining up and showing the receivers how he wants them to run the routes and how to come out of the breaks. Those are really critical things. And they're things that kind of flow under the radar. You don't really get to hear about as much when you talk about Tannehill.
I mean, I like seeing stuff like that, like you said, the communication-wise. One thing that I did see during the low red zone period was one segment. There was a good pass breakup by the defense. But one of the coaches came over and, you know, told KB, he was like, hey, man, I need you to be, you know, tell these to these guys where to go.
Saw that.
Right?
Yeah.
KB came over, coached the guy up, but then Amani Hooker stepped up and was like, hey, man, look, when we see this, when we see trips or whatever, this is where you need to be. This is what he's trying to get, you know, to convey. So it was interesting, like, when we were in the press, you know, and talking to Shane Bowen and those guys and talking about the leadership and the different guys that are stepping up this year for the Titans, Amani Hooker's name was thrown around a lot. And now seeing that, right, not just Kevin Byard being the veteran that he is and has always been and the consummate professional, but also Amani Hooker now stepping up and taking that role and saying, hey, I am one of those guys, one of these guys on this team. I'm a veteran now and stepping into those shoes. I think that was kind of awesome. And that's something that you don't really pay attention to because we're so caught up with, like you said, the stuff that's happening on the field and the pass breakups. But it's a small moments like that where you see a team come together because now you got Kevin Byard, who's a captain, right? And then Amani Hooker, who can also step up and be that guy and that professional veteran presence in the locker room as well. I think that was awesome just seeing that and seeing how he's maturing as a player.
And that guy you're talking about was Shaheem Carter. It was Shaheem Carter, number 28. I remember that specifically when you mentioned that. Chris, when you look at that type of situation, at what point do you think a player really gets the understanding that he's – a guy who has to be leaned on for those type of things? You know, you look at Amani Hooker, he signed a contract.
Yeah.
Does that automatically make him someone that's supposed to be relied upon for that?
No, I mean, the thing about it is, I mean, if you want to be great, you got to make everybody around you better. Well, I mean, we just talk about what makes a great leader. It's a guy that makes everybody around you better. Look at Byard. Byard was coaching up guys. Amani Hooker was coaching up guys. Because it's not about them. If you're going to win, you can't just win by yourself. You got to make sure everybody's on the same page. And that's exactly what you're seeing on offense. That's what you're seeing on defense. That's what you're seeing on special teams. So if you're going to put together a complete team, those kind of leaders have to step up. It's in you, and it's in some guys, and it's not in some guys. And I want to point out something, and not off the subject a little bit, about what I saw in practice yesterday, or the day before. Treylon Burks, I watched Treylon Burks. He struggled in practice one day. I mean, he was falling everywhere. He dropped a couple of passes, and he just wasn't himself. But then the next day, he comes back and he catches two or three touchdowns. That's just a sign of maturity. That's just a sign of a guy that wants to get better, to say, you know what? I know everybody said I'm not proven yet, but to bounce back from a bad practice and show the coaches you can rely on me, I thought that was outstanding, boss.
Yeah, and one of the things Burks has said was Rob Moore helped him really gain a lot of confidence. I know you've gotten to talk to Coach Rob a bit during this offseason. You saw a couple practices. What is it that you think makes him such a really good coach?
Man, he's a great teacher. I mean, he's a great teacher. He expects you to be in the right place. He expects you to make plays. And the one thing that I love about Rob Moore is he's very patient. I mean, you remember we talked about, I think it was last year or a couple of years ago, where he threw his hat. When's the last time you see him throw his hat? Or that means he, but that's all the emotion he's going to show. But he's one of those guys that has that quiet confidence. He talks to you as a man. And here's what I learned from him. He said this to me. I said, what makes you special of being a great wide receiver coach? He said, I gotta make sure that they trust me. And that's why you have Treylon Burks saying that's why Rob Moore is helping him, because he trusts him. He cares about him. He trains him like a son because he wants him to be successful. And that's why I think Rob Moore is a great wide receiver coach.
Yeah, and that's one thing, you know, I always kind of think about when I, you know, go through the coaches and picture things, because it's like, that's like Uncle Rob, man. I don't want to. You take it personally, like, dang, man. I don't want to disappoint Uncle Rob, man. I hate that I made him mad. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's how it seems to me. I know you've mentioned in the past, right? Heywood Jeffries. You know how much of an influence he had on you. You look at this report that DeAndre Hopkins is visiting, and it has been confirmed that he's visiting with the Titans on Sunday. What are your thoughts on how he could really help out Treylon Burks first, and then we'll get into the offense overall?
Man, I think that would be really, really good. And I'm going to tell you why. You know, Treylon Burks gets a chance to look at a potential Hall of Famer, which he is going to be a Hall of Famer. And if you look at some of the things that Treylon Burks needs to work on, he needs to work on getting off the line of scrimmage. Who gets off the line of scrimmage very, very well? DeAndre Hopkins. We saw that a couple of years ago when he made Butler fall at the line of scrimmage. So he can learn from him how to get off the line of scrimmage, how to understand how to run routes, and how to understand
how to beat the double coverage. So I would learn from. I would have Tradenberg sit back, learn from him, so he can become that kind of receiver that DeAndre Hopkins is. So I think it'd be a great asset, not just for the team, but for Tradenberg to become that number one wide receiver.
Yeah, and on the way here, I was talking to Zach Piller. And yeah, you can't that's say his dude. Name without laughing because he's
oh my god,
that's a wild dude. But and shout out wild to neighbors, you know what I mean? He has it in Franklin, also over there in Sylvan Park and Germantown. Those are some of the best wings that I've gotten in Nashville. But
what?
Yeah, man, they're on point. If you don't know, you better find out. But anyhow, I was talking to him and he has said that. It's invaluable what Hopkins will bring to the team itself. And he mentioned confidence. Yeah. How do you look at that perspective? You know, just the confidence that it would bring to the team, just in that it tells everybody, like, hey, we're not going for 6-11. We're going for the division and more.
Yeah, it brings a lot of confidence. And I'm going to tell you why. Look at the situation in practice. Look at the confidence that Arden Key brings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when he's on the field, he just takes you to another level. And you're like, man, how dare you try to throw the pass? I mean, there was a scenario that happened in practice that on three consecutive plays, Tannehill got sacked. So when you got a guy that's consistently running the ball, consistently making plays, it builds that confidence. So now you got DeAndre Hopkins. He's out on the perimeter. You're going against the Saints the first game. He's man-to-man on the outside. He runs a skinny post, and he catches it for a 76-yard bomb. You don't think that's going to build confidence with the offensive coordinator. You don't think that's going to build confidence with Derrick Henry or even the other receivers or anybody else that you got a guy that's going to come in here that's going to be a force to reckon with. Absolutely, he can help this team.
Yeah, and to Cortland's point about the back and forth, the defense feeling off the offense and vice versa. That's a perfect example of how that could happen. So, yeah, no, that's definitely what we wanted to touch on, man. I appreciate Cortland coming in and making it happen. Chris, I appreciate you. But, you know, before we get out of here, man, let me tell you something. I normally don't watch these types of movies with my daughter, my oldest one. She's 24, but we're watching Boys in the Hood, you know, and it was the part where they rode up on Ricky and Trey, and Trey turned and Ricky he turned and he ran, and my daughter was like, "That looks like the guy that you host the show with." Didn't you say he was kind of fast too? He's running fast like Chris. I said, "Nah, that ain't Chris Sanders. That's Ricky."
Oh man.
Ricky, get on my phone, man.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. Yeah, that's right. Kevin Byard brought us back because Kevin Byard is back. And it's only right we have him do that because we're going to get into the secondary. We got my guy, man. You know, you go to the black book, you pull out the numbers, and you go to your resources, and that's what we're doing. Keith Sanchez, senior NFL draft analyst for the Draft Network. He is a national champion, by the way, 2019, with LSU as the lead personnel analyst with that awesome university, also known as DBU. So it's only right we get into it. What's going on, Keith?
Oh, man, what's up, man? How you doing? I definitely appreciate the introduction, man. One of the better ones I've been had.
Yes, sir. How you doing? This is what we do, man. I'm doing great, man, and I'm doing better now because it's always good getting the opportunity to talk shop, man. We got to bust it up at the combine a little bit, exchange numbers, and, it's good to put a face to the Twitter, and that's what we did. So I'm glad we get to talk some shop, man. I guess, as you as a guy with the, DB experience and analyzing that specific position, I want to open it up with just how you go about analyzing DBs. How do you go about projecting them to the league, and what are some of the traits you look at?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is pretty good, right, because obviously my time at LSU, we've seen a lot of defensive backs, right, and talking to some NFL scouts, they'll say, like, in the scouting world that, at LSU, we're spoiled, right? Because we look at first, second rounders, they be like, this guy's a fifth rounder, right? But let's just go through some of the process, man. And initially, what I'm looking for is hey, like the initial breakdown, is this guy a man-to-man corner, or is this more of a zone corner, right? Like, is he fluid in his hips? Is he explosive? Is he smooth out of transitions? Then you look at how does he play press, right? If this is a press man corner, is he technically sound, right? And under defensive back coach Corey Ram, who I believe to be the best defensive back coach in college, collegiate and NFL, he always just worked on press, right? And he was so hard on those guys about their technique. And as I get away from LSU, right, and I watch other cornerbacks from other universities, like I see why, right? Because just being able to win in press, and we always say you press with your feet first and then your hands, it's such important when it comes to winning a route. So I lean towards more, and if I was a defensive coordinator, right, like we're talking about another world, I want press man corners. I want corners that can get in people's face. They can mirror, they can disrupt wide receivers at the line of scrimmage, timing and everything. So that if I had to lean one way, I'm definitely going with these press man corners.
Yeah, that makes 100% sense. And you look at LSU, I think that's why so many DBs come out of there ready to go. And speaking of DBs from LSU, I mean, Christian Fulton is obviously a guy that we have to talk about. When he was there, what did you like from him just in some of the things that he exhibited?
Yeah, the athletic profile. So with cornerbacks, right, we always talk about straight line speed. Obviously, you know, combine in and combine out, they run the fastest 40s, right? Like those, them and the wide receivers. But what we don't look at is that on a wide receiver route tree, there's only one nine route, right, where you're just running straight, right? So now you have to get into, okay, how does this guy break down, right? Like we talked about, is he smooth in his hips, right? Can he mirror wide receivers in and out of transitions? And Christian Foley did all of that, man. Like, I vividly remember many of practices, man. Him going against Jamar Chase, him going against Justin Jefferson, and him being able to win at the line of scrimmage, right? Then stay in phase with these guys throughout the entire route. And you're talking about two of the best wide receivers in the NFL. So athletic ability and everything else with Christian Foley, he definitely checked all the boxes for me. And I used to talk to NFL scouts. So what I did was I would go through, man, and watch players from other teams, right, that was in the draft. So I watched maybe the top 10 corners of that entire draft class, and I had Christian Fulton with a first-round grade, and that's not any LSU bias, right, because there were other LSU players that I didn't, just to kind of, clear that up. But I thought Christian Fulton was that talented, man. Like, he's there. We just know that, you know, it's a matter of just staying on the field. But the productivity is, like, and the ability and opportunity is definitely there for Christian.
Yeah, and like you, I had a first-round grade on him also, and I'm clearly not LSU biased, so we'll definitely make sure we mention that. But when you look at him in the NFL, in the league, like with the Titans, he's had hot spots. Then he's had times where it's just not as good. What do you make of what his body of work looks like at this point right now?
Yeah, if we're being completely honest, right, there are ebbs and flows in it, right? And I'm more than sure, you know, if you're a Tennessee Titans fan, right, it could be frustrating, you know, because you see the flashes, right? And you'd be like, that's why we went and drafted that guy in the second round, right? And then there are the other ways where it's like, oh, man, you know, what were we thinking right there? And I think for Christian, man, it's just a matter of consistently playing, right? And then getting those reps, because when you're, you know, you're in and out, right? Like, it's like, okay, when did you officially have your, you know, welcome to the NFL moment and was able to transition into a veteran? But when you're playing sporadically and sparingly, right, in between those seasons, it's kind of like not putting together the complete thing and being able to make that transition. So for Christian, I think the upside is there, and it will be there, because the caliber of athlete and then just his knowledge of the game and, you know, and how to cover and how to play, man, like some of those things are uncoachable, and you can't necessarily teach that. It's just a matter of him being consistently staying on the field and getting those reps in, because I'll say this, TD, that what I've noticed with corners also, and you know, you know that too, right? Like that, it's the same way with anything. You have to get in a rhythm, meaning that, you know, once you get that first route cover, it's like, okay, now the confidence is up, right? And then you get that second one, and you kind of like, okay, continue to flow, and you're like, all right, I'm in my, you know what they say, right? I'm in my bag right now. And it's kind of like, you know, we're in the NBA finals times. It's like a shooter, right? Like, you make that first shot, then you feel good about stroking the next one, right? It's the same thing. It's like you cover that first route, you feel good about the second one. Now, if you miss that first one, now what you doing, right? You're trying to play catch-up, so now you're trying to jump something, or you're trying to, you know, if you play a zone, you're trying to guess and to what's coming instead of just going with the natural flow. So it's a matter of Christian just playing and getting into a rhythm and just being good.
Yeah, consistency is so important. And we're talking to Keith Sanchez, senior NFL draft analyst, the Draft Network, 2019 national champ with LSU, where he was the lead personnel analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at the Talent Code. Keith, let's move to the safety position, because obviously, you know, Kevin Byard is a guy that this team, they desperately need in that secondary. He's, along with Derrick Henry, those are the longest tenured players on the team. So when you look at Kevin Byard, you pair him up. Well, you know what? Let's start there, actually. Kevin Byard himself, from your viewpoint, what is it that makes him such a solid, outstanding safety?
Yeah, I would even go with the second word, right? Outstanding. And that's the ability to, TD, to get your hands on the football, man. We know how tough that is, right? And we as an NFL community and general managers and everyone else, you have to value that, right? Because that's a player's ability to take the football away from the offense and give it back to your offense, right? And we know that this league is about scoring points. So you look at over Kevin Byard's career, he has been consistent in taking the football. We like, you know, some years, you know, 7, 8, 9 interceptions, some years 4 or 5 interceptions. But all of it is still very good, because we've seen other Pro Bowl safeties to where, you know, it's 0 interceptions, 1 interception, things like that. So if you ask me about Byard, why I value him, and it's something that I value in safeties, period, and I watch on film, and that's the ability to take the football away. Mm-hmm. And that's not anything that's in the athletic testing, right? Like, that's just knowledge. That's high football IQ. That's them studying the film. That's them, you know, just having that innate ability to understand what's going on offensively. And you, like, that's, once again, that's something that you can't coach. And that's something that I value, like, highly. Like, I really like that in safeties, when they could just always find themselves around the football.
Yeah, and Amani Hooker, that's where I was going next. And he's a guy with ball skills as well. Where do you rank those two when you look at the safety tandems across the league?
Right, man. It's tough, right? Because, I mean, the Bills,
yeah,
they had a good tandem, right? But I would have to say, because I think that Kevin Byard holds so much weight, right? And this is not just saying this because it's a, you know, Tennessee Titans situation. I would easily put them in the top 7. And that's because I think Kevin Byard is one of the better safeties in the entire NFL. And I think Hooker is a solid to good safety, right? Like, they're real flashes to where it's like, man, this guy can ball. So you take that combination and you put them in, you know, a top 7 safety combination in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree with you there. They're definitely two of the better ones. Well, when you look at this secondary overall, though, this is a unit. They were dead last against the pass last year. Dead last. 32 out of 32. But when you look overall at this group, I mean, what are your thoughts on the secondary? How can they be a better group than what they did last year?
Man, we talked about this a little earlier, right? But it's being on the field, man. It's being on the field, because, you know, like they say, the best ability is availability. And I've heard this, and you let me know if it's true, but, you know, the Tennessee Titans, obviously, you know, it went viral because they were doing sled pushes and what, in April and May?
Yeah.
And that was supposedly to kind of – this is what I've heard, and you let me know if it's true, but that was to kind of start getting the process going, so there's no more of those, you know, minor issues, right? Like the hamstrings, those soft tissues, because that adds up, right? When you talk about continuity within it, then now you're talking about, okay, if I have, you know, it, on paper, it looks good, right? Like, my starters and the people that I have on this roster is Christian Fulton, Roger McCreary, Caleb Farley. But if they're not in, right, now I'm talking about my 5th, 6th, 7 corners. And we know that the NFL, while, you know, it's full of talented players, those blue chip prospects, right, or those blue chip NFL players, they're special for a reason, and you want those guys to play. So I would have to start with, putting the bar at them being on the field. And then secondly, obviously, there's a mesh between, okay, you know, where do these guys play, right? Okay, are we putting Roger McCreary on the outside at 5'10", 5'11", or are we going to kick him down to nickel? Can Christian Fulton play some nickel? Caleb Farley, you know, where is he going to align and adjust, and, you know, what's best for him? You know, continue to go into the cornerback situation? Are all these guys press man situations, or one side of the field we're going to play press man, one side we're going to allow those guys to play off coverage? So it's multiple different things, but I think it has to start with all of these guys building some type of cohesiveness by just simply being on the field together.
Yeah, and that's going to be intriguing, right? Because you got Elijah Molden coming back from injury, and he's been working in the back end at one of the safety spots. Then they added Sean Murphy Bunning. I'm really curious how that thing is going to work out. So let me ask you this, right? So we talked about Fulton. This is going to be year four for him. It's obviously a contract year. Do the Titans need to draft a cornerback next year?
Man, the Titans, I laugh about this, right? The reason I'm laughing because the Titans are similar to the Minnesota Vikings to me, to where they're always drafting a corner, right? But then it always seems like they need a corner too. So it's tough because, and I would say at some point, yes, right? And we've been blessed with, you know, I guess the NFL community, that we've had two deep back-to-back cornerback classes. So when you say draft a corner, everyone's mind initially goes to, okay, take them in the first round. It's like, nah, you can find a talented player in the second and third and in the fourth round that can contribute for your team while you still continue to address, you know, positions like the offensive line for the Tennessee Titans, linebacker position if they want to address that, the wide receiver position if they want to address that. So, yeah, my philosophy, I think you should draft cornerbacks at some point in every draft just because, like you said, man, NFL offenses, they want to go four wide, five wide. You're talking about one pulled hamstring away from having to get a guy off the practice squad or something like that. So I definitely think the Titans should be in the running for drafting a cornerback. It's just a matter of how high do they want to go.
And last thing, Keith, obviously, before you came on, we talked a little bit about the DeAndre Hopkins situation. From a DB perspective, right, how does adding a guy like that change your assignment? Change not your assignment, but just – like, change your approach, how you have to play defense.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, everyone talks about rolling coverages, right? But then it also, it makes you question, like, we talked about different techniques. Like, okay, how do we play D-Hop? And then what if they decide to put him in motion, right? So for adding a guy like D-Hop, what it does is it puts more pressure on the defensive coordinator because he can't just roll out there and say, hey, we're going to play this coverage across the board because D-Hop can flat out dominate, right, if it's one-on-one coverage. So now we have to roll certain things. But now it gets into the mental part of it because it's like, okay, cool. I know you're doubling D-Hop. If I have him as an outside wide receiver, you're going to have him and a safety over top, right? But what if I motion D-Hop right before the ball is snapped and then I put him in the slot? Now who's going to be doubling him, right? And then now you think about a guy like Treylon Burks who the upside is there, right? It's just a matter of him putting it together this year, which I think he has the potential to. Now you're talking about Treylon Burks being in one-on-one situations. So when everyone talks about pulling coverages, that's the most important because the defensive backs have to communicate. Then obviously we know the physical presence that D-Hop, you know, presents and his 50-50 balls and his swag and everything else. So it puts the defensive coordinators in a bind, which puts the players in communication in an even more difficult situation.
Very well put. Ladies and gentlemen, everything we do here at Talking with TD is calculated. There was a reason why we have Keith Sanchez on this edition of the show. He's a senior NFL draft analyst for the Draft Network, former lead personnel analyst at the LSU 2019 national champion as well. So, Keith, we appreciate you. Make sure you guys check him out. Give him a follow at The Talent Code on Twitter. And we're going to have you back on again because, you know, it's only a matter of time till we talk some more Christian Fulton in that secondary.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. Definitely appreciate it, man.
All right. So that was Keith Sanchez, lead draft analyst for the Draft Network, as well as a former personnel analyst for LSU. Definitely appreciate him for coming on. We had Chris Sanders on a little bit earlier, making it happen. Always an adventure when he comes on. But, yeah, man, Courtland, go ahead and give the folks an opportunity to know where they can find your work. And it's been pretty dope, you know, working through this couple segments here.
For sure. Again, you can search me anywhere, man, Courtland Griffin. You can find me at the 3-point conversion. That's the THE number 3-point conversion. You can find my articles on there. I got a couple of Titans articles up there. We'll have some up about, you know, mini camps and some other ones coming on as we get into the second wave of the offseason and seeing, you know, maybe possibly what happens with DeAndre Hopkins. We're definitely going to have some words with that. Also, catch me on my show, The Halftime Show with Courtland Griffin. You can search that on YouTube. Catch it on my Twitter page at DC Griffey. It's the letter C, Griffey, G-R-I-F-F-Y. You can catch it there. You can catch it on my Facebook page. I'm pretty much anywhere you find sports, you can find me. And I appreciate it, TD, for having me on, man.
Yeah, for sure. And we got David James over there making it happen. You know what it is.
Oh, yeah. You always know. You know it's what goes down.
What here. Time it is.
Yes, sir.
And then lastly, and most importantly, we got each of you. Definitely appreciate all the support from you. You could check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. Search Talking with TD. Go ahead and subscribe, rate, then review. We appreciate you.